To get back to your Shador question, you asked about what he was. I'm not going to say the term that you put out there, the interception to touchdown ratio or the completions to incompletions ratio. I'm not doing camp stats. I got to be above something. I got to stand for something, damn it. I know I'm the biggest clown at the circus, but damn it, I'm not going
to
do that.
I thought you'd be rearing and ready to go after the two perfect passes.
No.
One, I don't know how he thread the needle. I don't care whether he would have been sacked or not. How he thread the needle yesterday. And then, you know, everything else was very close to the line of scrimmage. So I'd like to see, I did ask, like, would you like to see it open up a little bit more? Or do you think you have to run the offense? You have to prove to the coach you're not going to put the ball in harm's way a bunch.
Well, he did have like a 30-yard pass towards the back of the end zone.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Doesn't that count?
Yes. Oh, 100%. Okay. I'm saying, though, of the nine, there were only two of them that even had the chance to be really special, and I thought they both were, whether he was going to be sacked or not.
Well, you're only going to get a couple of opportunities. You better make the most of those opportunities, and apparently he did. So I can't really take much out from him. Plus, you got to remember, who was he throwing to? I mean, you kind of made a mention that he's...
Salmonella.
All right, Baskin, you want
to number 87? I'm sorry, it's Sal Canella.
I think it's the death of comedy.
It's Sal Canella. And then the other one starts with an L.
This was a good show at one point, and you just ruined it.
You just jumped the shark.
You're the Fonz.
I think my eyes deceived me there, because it looks like Salmonella. It's Sal Canella.
If you were a caller right now, I'd be doing silent game with you.
Okay, yeah, it's Sal Canella. I'm looking right now.
So he's... Yeah, you deserve it.
It's not Salmonella. I'm sorry.
Stop it.
I feel bad. Well, some of these guys at camp, I can't keep up with them. There's so many different players. They come in. They're there for a day. Hello.
They got 90 of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys out there.
You keep it up. It's going to be Carmen and Volnick in the morning. I'm not going to stick you at night. You got to be entertaining to be at night. I don't know where I'm going to put you. Don't say it again. I know what you're thinking, and don't you say the word again.
And then you help me out.
Here we go.
Gage Larvadane. Gage Larvadane.
I think it's Gage.
It's a Key and Peele skit all of a sudden.
Larvadane. Okay, this is actually... Okay, now you're going somewhere with it.
He's 5'8", and he had a nice catch.
Okay.
South Carolina.
So you also got to remember who he's throwing to. What do you stop laughing at him? Your gut's just going to encourage him.
Because now I'm just seeing.
Stop it.
I'm
he
just seeing.
Me off so much at the beginning of the show.
He did.
I'm just seeing Key and Peele go, Blake Whitehart.
Blake Whitehart sounds like a wrestler on NXT.
Salmonella.
Gage
Laverdani.
Wide receiver, South Carolina.
D'Artagnan Tinsley. Damn it.
See, even you couldn't resist.
I'm not doing wordplay on Sal Canella's name. Damn it, now you got me almost doing it.
Number 42,
Sal Canella's name.
Easton Macadamia Nut Arnold.
Okay, can I just say this before we get back to this Class A disaster?
Go Flacicio.
Let me go back.
Quarterback. Delaware.
Let me get this thing back on the track for the
Can
love
I
of God.
Can I do the one from Colorado
Stop
State,
it.
The cornerback?
Yeah, whatever, fine. This thing's already gone to hell.
Jigazazi Azanuzium.
Almost dumped you.
That's what it is. Chigozie, number 35.
Is this on offense or defense?
This is
defense.
I did say
Ozzie Newsom in there, too.
I did
also
say.
A Brown.
I named two players, and one's a great. Number 35, Kenny.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
All right. There you go. Okay.
You going to do Lamarian James?
No, we're going to move on.
Right.
Ethan.
I think
Pocket.
It's Lamarian James. Okay. Winston Reed. You know that
oh,
name.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You know Winston. Big
one.
Win.
The command
big win.
Of that name.
I love the name Winston. All right. Can I go on with this now?
Yes, let's a serious show.
This is going to be true football nitty gritty stuff. You might even want to hit that if you want to. This is real nits and grits. It's not just about Shador. as I was trying to make the case 18 minutes ago before you guys started going in on names over here, is that you also have to take into account who he's throwing to. Am I expecting to get an entire route tree out of Sal Cannella? I don't think I necessarily am. So if I'm only going to run so many things, then I can only throw to so many different routes. So if it's 3 yard outs or something like you just said, then I guess it's 3, 5, 7 yard outs. If it's drag routes across the middle for 6 yards and it's drag routes across the middle for 6 yards, I can only throw to who's out there. If it were Jerry Jeudy, yeah, Jerry Jeudy can run any route on the tree. That's why Jerry Jeudy was a first round pick. That's why Jerry Judy's our number one wide receiver. If it were any of the big names we've had in the past, Odell, Jarvis, you name it, then we would have done it. But with a lot of these other guys, it's like, hey, I don't know exactly what routes that they can run. I don't know. They know. But they can only trust him for so much. So there is a little bit of give and take. I can't just say, well, Shador isn't really great with the offense or Shador's behind or anything like that. Everybody just wants to do that because it fits our arguments. You also have to see who he's throwing with. And if he was throwing to ball boys, like what Terrell said, yeah. Well, ball boys aren't able to run really any of the routes. So take this all into account, guys.
Supposedly yesterday he had two groupings, Shador did, with the threes and one with the twos. So they're mixing in a few more opportunities with the twos. Do you think it's going to be incumbent on Stefanski to get him with the ones now? It seems like they're very hesitant to do that.
Yeah, of course they're hesitant to do that because the media is there every single day. And if he gets snaps, I don't think it's going to happen this week. Now, I don't think they should just not have him play with the ones because of the media. But if he goes with the ones, like there is a lot of the stuff that's being said, I think it, and this is even myself, when I'm saying the media is there, I think that that's overrated. I think the whole, well, they needed to humble Shador Sanders. I think being a fifth round pick is unhumbling enough to Shador Sanders. I don't think that he needs to be humbled. So the whole, they humbled him. They don't need to humble him. So that, I think, is overrated. I think they're just trying to follow a pecking order. Joe Flacco now has to take more reps. Joe Flacco will work with the ones. Joe Flacco doesn't have time for a lot of twos and threes and fours and things like that. Dylan Gabriel is probably next in line, I would imagine, because they love where his headspace is. Dylan Gabriel might get some reps with the ones, but will usually work with the twos. And Shador Sanders will get what's left, probably some work with the twos and the threes and so on and so forth, because Kenny Pickett's not available to you. It's only fair. And when we get to the joint practice next week, if he goes up, plays well against Carolina on that Wednesday, and then goes into the preseason game against Carolina on Friday and actually conducts himself and the offense really well, then maybe he'll get a crack with the twos as time goes on. But they're going to take this nice and slow. They're going to make sure, because I think we're not, if we're talking about all the clouds and things that get involved into this that really don't matter, if I'm going to say anything on Shador's behalf, which I don't have to, but I will, is I do think that being that humbling experience of a fifth round pick could have an effect on a guy. So you were supposed to be a first round pick to a lot of us in the media. You become a fifth round pick in real life. That can have a really damaging effect. So if you go out there with the ones, you got Myles Garrett buzzing the tower and all the other stuff like that. Yeah, that can be a little bit scary for guys. So they're going to bring him along nicely. And so far, I'm fine with that. Absolutely fine with it. Do you have anything else you got to say about names and Shador and all the other stuff? Turn the microphone on.
I'd like to see him with the ones a little bit.
Here's Cool Ray in Bedford. Hello, Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up, man? Yo, I got something really, man. I disagree with you 100% right now, man. First of all, that humbling comment, that is what's bringing up all this tension with these racist comments. Like, why should he have to be humbling? Like, that's crazy. Like, we see that he's not getting reps with the first team.
But I said, whoa, hold on. I said he needs to be humbled?
You saying by him being, he should have been a first round pick, he should be humbling by being a fifth round pick, and it had nothing to do with his talent.
So he dropped to the fifth round. It had zero to do with his talent.
How do you project to be the second best quarterback in the draft after college? Never touched the football. And then you drop to the fifth after that. So that had nothing to do with a skill set. Now, we can argue why he dropped that far. But don't say he should be humbled.
How could he not? How could you not be humbled by the experience of falling all the way to the fifth round? How could you not?
Okay, you could be, but look what's happening to him. You're making an argument right now that what he's
I'm arguing for Shedeur Sanders this whole time.
But he's not even having an opportunity to play with the first rounders or the first team.
Okay.
And then we're saying that what he's doing because who he's throwing to really shouldn't matter until the joint practices. No, if it's a true competition, no matter who he's throwing to.
It's not a true competition.
So no matter who he's throwing to, shouldn't we be looking at his productivity? If he's out, if he's throwing lasers, if he's dropping the ball where it's supposed to go, isn't that what we should be looking at?
You're addicted to the – how many arguments do you have a day about Shedeur Sanders? I want to know.
Me?
Yes.
Me, I have, listen, this argument.
How many arguments do you get into a day about Shedeur Sanders?
Zero. It's about how
I don't believe you at all.
It's using him.
I don't believe you at all.
It's how it's using him.
It's how they're using him. What are you talking about?
We want to see him with the first teamer to see if he is.
Who's we?
Getting first.
Who's we?
I think the general public would love to see him with. I think I can speak for you guys.
The general public would like to see a lot of things. I think the Browns are bringing him along the right way.
How can you say that if he's not even being seen with the first teamers? Wouldn't you want to see him with the first teamer just in case?
Eventually, I don't need to see him in the first week of practice.
Isn't that what a competition is for?
It's not
in case.
I'm not going to raise my voice and lose my mind here. It's not a competition. This is not a competition. They say a lot of things. I think you probably know by now the Cleveland Browns and all professional sports teams say a lot of things. Do you believe that this is a competition? Are you really going to hold that to them that this is a competition when he's throwing to Sal Canella, a guy who Lyman made fun of the guy's name for five minutes?
I just read it wrong, and I apologized for it.
Is that what you really believe?
As a sports professional who covers the Browns, wouldn't you want to see the best quarterback take the field in week one, regardless of who it could be? So when you want to see if this guy is ready,
I'm going to throw him in with the first teamers just because I want to see. I just want to make sure he's ready.
You want to see if the best quarterback take the field. This is why people pay their money.
We cannot
act like this doesn't matter. That fans pay their money to go see the best player take the best players take the field. This was wrong here.
Get into training camp for free.
Do you have anything to say on this?
I just didn't understand why he was so upset about the term humbled. Like Baker Mayfield says, he was humbled by what happened in Carolina
because we are talking to a guy on the phone right now who has a daily argument with many individuals over Shedeur Sanders. There is no way Cool Ray is telling us the truth right now. Owen can't see me right now.
I'd like to hear more.
There is no way this man is telling me. Cool Ray. This man is telling me the truth.
I would like to hear more from Cool Ray.
Oh, come on.
Let the guy have a fair shot here on the radio.
I kicked you because you're a bad caller, Cool Ray, not because of anything else.
I wanted to continue the conversation, Owen. I think we'll agree to disagree.
One of the worst segments I've ever done. From the South Canella name to the call. One of the worst segments ever.
Coach Lance. He's talking to Coach Lance on there.
Lance Reisland?
That's right.
Love Coach Lance.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Minter.
All right, you want to get to the Shedeur call here?
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely.
We're going to get back to Class A. Trust me, ain't going anywhere, at least not until August 31st. Say what?
Cool Ray called back in?
No, we got another person here. Because I don't understand how I went from defending Shedeur Sanders on anything to whatever that call was in the last segment.
I have no idea. We talked about this during the break because I was like, was it lost in translation? I thought you said what was obvious, that it had to be humbling for him to think he was number two overall to 144.
Yeah.
Like, how would that not humble you?
The thing about, well, he needs to be, it's like, no. There's no humbling needed. That is a humbling enough experience. And we've said that for any person who's ever had a fall. Now, usually that fall is usually from the first five to around 26 or 22 or 27.
Yeah, this was an unprecedented drop.
This was, and we have to admit what it was. It was unprecedented. That's what it was. So I think that that type of a fall can have an effect on somebody. You got you're telling me your whole team is with you. Your agent, your father, your quarterback coach, your other coaches that you have, your wellness team, everybody you have around you as a modern day high profile athlete. And you all believe that you're going to go somewhere in the first 10 picks, somewhere in there. Probably top 5. Remember Deion himself said it, I think it was at the Super Bowl when he had said it in the interview. His goal is to beat me. I went number 5th overall. He wants to go somewhere in the top 4. You go from that to 144. I think that that's going to have an effect on you. So when we're talking about competitions and wanting to see him with ones, I don't need to see him with ones in the first week of training camp. I'm sure we will have our game at some point where Shador is going to start. I don't think he's going to get cut. I damn sure don't think he's going to get traded. I don't think either of those things are going to happen. I damn sure don't think either of those things are going to happen. I think we'll eventually get our chance because somewhere there's untapped potential that we need to tap into. And stringing together good practices with guys in Browns jerseys, even though, no, I don't intend on you for, no offense to Sam Cannella, Sal Cannella.
No
offense to Sal Cannella. I just don't, hopefully he becomes the next great thing, but I just don't anticipate him playing on Sundays for the Cleveland Browns. So hopefully you will throw to Jerry Jeudy in meaningful games someday. But it doesn't need to be on July 28th. You need to command the offense. I would like to see, if I'm in a huddle with Shador Sanders, I'd like to see him maybe correct some of the guys. If I'm one of these coaches, hey, this is what you do. This is what you do here. That's what you do there. Whoa, 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 whoa. I threw it there. You're supposed to be there. That's the wrong route. This is the wrong scheme. Like these type of things, I would like to see a little bit more of that. See, this is the stuff that me standing on the sideline as Joe Media Kenny Carmen doesn't get to see into. So that's why I do draw umbrage with, he went 9 for 9 yesterday. Oh, he went 7 for 11 yesterday. You know, bad day at the office. I went 4 for 12. You don't know. You don't know any of it. You don't know the situation. We all, for the most part, have our heads up our ass. That's why, I'll be brutally honest, that's why Lance is invaluable to us. Because Lance Reisland knows game scripts. He knows practice scripts. He knows what situations they're put into. So if Shador throws a ball where nobody's in the vicinity of where that ball's supposed to be, and the same for Dylan, maybe even the same for Kenny and Joe, if they throw up and people go, what was that about? You don't know the situation. You don't know. And it blows my mind. Because me being a loudmouth the way I am, and I am, when's the one time you could shut me up when football coaches are talking? Because you got guys who have been doing this a hell of a lot longer than me, and for whatever reason, they just won't shut their damn mouths when a head football coach or when a football coach in general is trying to teach them something. Actually takes the time to do it. So I'm not going to sit there and shoot my... I did it before back in the day, and I'm appalled that I did it. I shot my mouth off about guys in training camp and passes and things like that, but I didn't know what the hell I was looking at. Now you have to understand that there are situations they're put into. So Shador can go 9 for 9 and go 12. You can go 4 for 12. It can mean the same damn thing. Because he's throwing to Sal Cannella and he's throwing to Luke Floria and he's throwing to Cade McDonald, who's wearing number 31. He's throwing to Keyshawn Johnson, another Keyshawn Johnson.
Oh, that'd be
not
great,
that yeah. Keyshawn yeah. Johnson. And none of these guys are more than likely going to be in a starting lineup in the NFL anytime soon. And if he's able to conduct business with those guys, okay, you know what? Well, our wide receiver group isn't that great to begin with, so I can't say, oh, now you get the throw to... You get what I'm saying. Craig in Euclid. Hello, Craig.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hi, Craig.
How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing horrible. Thanks for asking. Go right on ahead.
Hey, you guys are so funny, but really good at what you do, man. I love the show.
I appreciate it.
Listen to it pretty much every day.
Thank you.
But just wanted to say, as far as the Shador thing and what's kind of going on, in my opinion, like you said, he was drafted way later than a large portion of the country mm-hmm. expected. Mm-hmm. And, okay, we all kind of watched Shador grow up on this show and things and through prime and seeing what he brings to the table and how well he's done with these young men. We've watched him go through the plight of what a lot of young men go through as far as starting at HBCU, working his way up to a big school, bigger school, and having success there. So the whole country, as you know, was tuned in to what Colorado was doing. Those guys definitely, you know, went through a lot of things and came out on top. They did really well. They surpassed expectations. And so we saw the awards that Shador won, you know, the golden arm. We saw the success he was having in accuracy, even with a pretty terrible team besides. I mean, I don't want to slam the team, but, you know, the offensive line was not protecting him.
Are you talking about Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado.
See,
Sorry about that.
Well, you know, yeah. I'm just called an excuse maker, and I'm going, guys, I mean, some of these transfer portals, and you know this, Craig. You got a transfer portal that opens up. Some of these guys join these teams. What, football season for some of these teams are just opening up camp. They start in 34 days. Some of these guys are seeing their programs for the first time. Colorado was starting players that showed up for the first time in fall camp.
Yeah, how crazy
is that?
That
means you're turning around and you're trying to get an offense going in 34 days. Yeah, and playing at a high level, at a high level. Go ahead, Craig.
Right. Yeah, so the point is that, you know, like I said, the slide, Shador dropping like he did was really heartbreaking for a large part of the country. We had people like Mel Kiper and a lot of experts, even guys on your station, thinking that Shador would go, you know, to 22, whatever. So to see him drop like that, it really felt bigger than football. And so that's why when you get to the humble word, you got to be careful, because even though it's one word, it has dual meanings. And that kind of speaks to the, you know, origins of this country, too.
Fair enough.
You know, so you get to saying humbled and you're trying to take someone's confidence, and it was being said that he possibly was dropped, you know, sliding like that because they were trying to humble him and his family. So that has a different implication to it.
Well, Craig.
So that's why you're getting these split camps kind of, you know.
That is fair. My argument is, again, I don't think that anybody needs it, especially him. That was my argument, and I believe the Cool Ray took it out of context, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that happens with communication all the time. Mm-hmm. I know for the most part how you guys feel about, you know, being fair with it. And I've been a Browns fan for years, so I've watched the camps and people looking so promising, and then all of a sudden we get the season going. It's like, what the heck is this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the report card thing, is that something new with the, you know, how many completions and everything?
Or I have seen it more and more all over the NFL.
Craig.
I'm like, I thought I've seen it, but I'm not sure. I'm like, am I crazy? But I'm not sure.
That one, and Craig, thank you very much for the call and the context here, is the report card. I think report card things are dangerous again. Oh, you're doing completions, interceptions, touchdowns, things like that. I mean, guys, we just don't. We don't know on things. I mean, they had a whole debate yesterday on whether or not there was a touchdown pass thrown by Shador Sanders or it would have been a sack, which Daniel Yafusi was the man who ended up being the tiebreaker on afternoon drive yesterday about that, which I'm thinking, my God in heaven, I think it shows our desperation for a quarterback, more desperate than we've ever had. And frankly, when it comes to Dillon Gabriel, I'll tell you this, we don't make a big deal about Dillon Gabriel.
I don't even like to look at his highlights.
Well, we don't make a big deal about Dillon Gabriel because we believe the ceiling is going to be higher for Shador Sanders.
But it's true. It's 100%
true. It's that simple.
Yeah,
that's why we spend so much damn time on Shador Sanders is a celebrity, but you can't tell me that the majority of Browns fans out there, part of the reason we spend so much time on Shador Sanders is because, yes, where a lot of us thought he was going to go, so we believe the ceiling's going to be
high. And we watched it. I obviously saw Dillon Gabriel. He played against Ohio State. But I was watching Shador. I was trying to analyze from day one, is this really an NFL quarterback? Is it somebody that can start? And yesterday, as I was getting into it with some people about, you know, hey, the two passes were amazing. I'd like to see him go past, you know, 5 yards on a lot more of these, take some more chances. Someone said, you're only doing that with Shador. I'm like, yes, because I don't care about the other guys. I hate to say it. You know, Joe Flacco, fine, start him week one, but I don't care about Joe Flacco going forward. Great guy, great interview. We've had him on the show. I love talking to him, picking his brain about football. I don't care. I don't care about Joe Flacco and long-term in the Browns. I don't care about Dillon Gabriel. I certainly don't care about Kenny Pickett. There's one guy I care about, and it's Shador Sanders, because I believe his ceiling is higher. I might be wrong. Who knows? But that's just my belief. So obviously, I'm going to care much more about Shedeur Sanders, and I'm going to evaluate his throws on a much different playing field than everybody else.
Jimmy Haslam talking to the media at noon.
Training camp coverage powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation.
We will hear from Jimmy Haslam live here on The Fan as we're your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3TheFan.com. That coming up at high noon. I think, and I know we only got a couple of minutes here, and we got about last night coming up here at 7:43. I think the most telling thing about the Emmanuel Clase is that we spent, anytime we talk about Shedeur Sanders, it turns into a wildfire. And everybody starts talking about Shedeur Sanders. I think one of the most frustrating, not frustrating, but scary things to me about the entire Emmanuel Sanders or Emmanuel Clase situation is I think that you were way more passionate and Owen was way more passionate than anybody we've gotten on Twitter or on the phones today about Emmanuel Clase. I think a lot of people have just packed it up and it kind of is what it is. I think they are disenchanted by what's happened throughout this season where they didn't do anything during the offseason. I think they're disenchanted because, frankly, I made excuses for the Dolans to begin the season. It was the Zach Meisel interview that changed my opinion on that when he kind of righted me on it. There was no kind about it. He righted me on some things that I thought to be true that weren't necessarily true about TV deals. And then it culminates with something like this where, yeah, you're right. We won't know the entire truth of it until August 31st, more than likely. And so there's a lot of things that you hold back on because you don't want to have to take back later on. But I think for the general fan, it's going, here is another problem that we have in this list of problems with this team that was supposed to be in the ALCS last year. And I think when it goes to the Browns, hey, we talk about Shedeur Sanders because there's a possibility for the future. We don't think they're going to do much this year, but there might be a possibility for the future. The Cavs, they are on the cusp. It's how do we get better? I think that there is a feeling right now with this fan base, and I'm going to jump into this more later on in the 8 o'clock hour. I think that there is a feeling with this fan base that they won't do what's necessary. And you can say that's wrong, and we'll hear more about that. They feel they won't do what's necessary to get them over the top. So what's the point of getting so worked up? I think that's some of the stuff I'm getting with the Emmanuel Clase stuff, because this is a major deal. This is a Major League Baseball issue. This is a pro sports issue. There could be some seediness in here that might not even, guys, honestly, from the stuff I'm reading, there's partially to this where you have to investigate whether or not this is even Luis Ortiz's and Emmanuel Clase's fault. And it seems that, yeah, you know what? Here's another thing that's just another problem for the 2025 Cleveland Guardians.
So much can happen around the globe that we never hear of.
I really share in our fans' disappointment, frustration. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
They've been through some tough battles, right? They know what the playoffs looks like. This team's been battle-tested in the playoffs.
He's a piece of crap. The kid, he sucked. He's sucked his whole career.
I got rumors about him. How he couldn't please his wife, so now he's divorced.
Put a damn winning team on the field.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Just a tough day all around yesterday for the Cleveland Guardians, not only losing 8-6 in a comeback win against the league worst Colorado Rockies, but of course everything going on with Emmanuel Clase, the gambling probe there. Now, this interesting thing we heard from Stephen Vogt yesterday during the pregame is that it seems as if the Guardians, according to all the reports we've been hearing, may have known about this as soon as Sunday morning that Clase may be put on leave. But Clase was used a lot over the weekend. Mm-hmm. He was used in the twin bill twice against the Royals. And on Sunday, he was in the bullpen despite the Guardians being down 4-1. This is Stephen Vogt before yesterday's game talking about his use of Clase during the weekend.
We didn't think, oh, let's do this because of this. It was, no, I managed each game to win the game. There was no, oh, let's do this just because of that, because we didn't know. We didn't know if or when or how or why. I was aware that it could happen, and so I managed each game accordingly.
Now, I'm asking you guys because I don't know myself. Did that come up with anything in your mind when the gambling probe first came up? Like, oh, this is weird how they tried to use him so much over the weekend.
I did not think of that when it first happened. I figured he's their closer. The 4-1 situation, now that does raise an eyebrow there. But I did not think of that over the weekend.
Well,
I figured he's their closer. That's where you put him out there. Because I'm sorry, Tone, but how are you supposed to know if Major League Baseball is going to suspend him? It's like, well, he's got a job to do. Or not, excuse me. Antonetti even used the term suspend. Put him on the paid leave list.
Yes.
For a month. Thank you. Go ahead, Tone.
I guess the part of this that I need more clarification is, did they go to him or his agent and ask them? I don't know if going to him would have been a bit, I don't know, not beyond the pale, but like, do you don't want to influence, or you don't want to get in his head about anything, especially if you're going to use him. So you don't want to go to him and go, well, we're here and baseball's investigating you. Like, you don't want to mess with his psyche. At the same time, you don't want to pitch a guy if he's accused of some dastardly things that could impact his actual pitching for your ball club. So what would you do if you were given this information? Would you have just shut him down? That's probably what I would have done. I would not have used him. You know, now that I really think it through, I probably would not have used him.
Well, if you know, does that mean he knows that you would know?
That's what that's
this is getting Rumsfeldian.
I know,
quick.
But that's what's unclear here. Honestly, it's a good question. It's a fair question. Because all we're hearing, and I'm reading Zach Meisel's piece here, is that they were informed. But we don't know anything beyond that.
But they also said that he knew before he came to the ballpark yesterday.
Yes.
That
yesterday,
something was
yeah.
going down. That was yesterday, yes. But still, I mean, they at least, he didn't pitch in that game on Sunday. They just had him
up. They had him in the bullpen.
Right. Right. And people were already suspicious of it then because the team was already down 4-1. You're like, why are you even peddling him out?
I mean, you can at least gloss it over with like, well, what if we score 3 runs in the ninth and then we've got to use him in the ninth? They didn't end up batting. The Royals didn't, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, have you seen this offense this year? Anyway, going from the Diamond to the Browns camp yesterday, we had some of the national headliners there, including one Albert Breer, who was asked on the afternoon drive, does Kenny Pickett still have a shot to win the Browns' overall starting job despite his injury?
I think Kenny does. Like right now, to me, I'd be surprised if it wasn't one of the two veterans. I think you guys are probably with me on that, right? And I think, like, Flacco's very steady, and they know what they're getting with Joe. There's not a good reason to go with Joe. The one thing with Kenny is, like, if Kenny can get up to, like, level ground with Joe as far as the knowledge of the offense, being able to operate the whole thing, prevent turnovers, all that, like, Kenny does bring a running element that I don't think any of the other three guys do. Dylan's probably closest, but if you are shaky about your offensive line at all, it could wind up being pretty important.
Isn't it amazing that it's Deion Sanders' kid who doesn't factor into any of the running? It's just still amazing to me to this day.
One of the fastest guys on the planet
just,
at one point.
Just one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. So I just think from what Breer is saying is, all right, if it's truly day-to-day, okay, I get that Pickett's not disqualified at all, but what we keep coming back to is I feel like he cannot miss the Carolina joint practice. I feel like if he misses that,
you know what,
the team needs to move on.
That's a great point.
Which sucks because not.
Well, how do you mean move on?
They need to get going and install a starting quarterback because you're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because now if he doesn't participate in that, all right, and then whatever happens with Flacco, and I don't know how they're going to divvy the reps up for that at all, but then when is the Philadelphia joint practice? That's just one day, right?
I thought so.
But that's the one, right? That's the one, Carolina.
It'll probably be a Thursday because that game's on a Saturday.
Yeah, it's the following week.
Yeah, that's the one. Like, fans, we're going to be watching a preseason game, unfortunately. We're not going to get anything from that. We need the joint practice stuff. The joint practice, I think, is going to inform them as an organization and as a football coaching staff more than anything else. And if he's missing Carolina, I just think that puts him way too far behind the eight ball. I don't like that. I don't like that for them gearing up for week one. I just don't like that scenario at all.
I agree with you. But you know what? If they were to turn to Kenny Pickett, then I go, man, they must be really disappointed in whatever Joe Flacco has left in the tank. Because there's definite like leadership there.
Sure.
And there's a veteran presence of a 40-year-old man there, for crying out loud, a former Super Bowl MVP and all that. Was he the Super Bowl MVP?
I believe he was. It wasn't Ray Lewis.
Either way, a Super Bowl champion.
It was the lighting guy.
Franchise quarterback. A former franchise quarterback.
It was Flacco, yeah.
Super Bowl MVP, they'd have to be pretty disappointed in what he's able to produce physically for them to go out and just, okay, Kenny's back.
Well, and
Kenny's
that's in
the
play
guy.
At his age. That is in play that he would fall off a cliff at some point.
Certainly
and
is.
Just,
certainly
joint practice-wise, one with Carolina. They've got two with Philly. So the next week, Wednesday, Thursday.
So maybe they would say, all right, Carolina's not the biggest deal. I just think now you're already 3 weeks into camp at that point.
It's funny you guys bring up Flacco and Pickett because we had a quote here yesterday, and I want you guys to see if you can read between the lines on this, because I don't even think David Njoku meant this in his camp press conference, but he was asked something about Pickett, and then he had a response to something about Joe Flacco, and these are the two answers.
He's a great player, a great leader, you know, just like the aura, just of him being in the huddle alone. It means a lot to
David,
the team.
David, what has it been like having Joe Flacco back? You guys
obviously— Flacco!
Joe's my guy. I mean, obviously, as you've seen 2 years ago, there's not really much to say. You know, just I think the film speaks more.
David Njoku is a big fan of Joe Flacco.
Well, obviously, they had some pretty signature connections, right, at the end of that season.
Yes.
So, I mean, it makes sense that, you know, I do wonder, like, guys like Jerry Jeudy especially, who do you think Jeudy wants throwing him the football week one? Because you saw how ugly, do you guys remember how ugly it was the last few weeks of last year with Jeudy? Like, he got a bunch of targets, and he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but with the Browns at the end of that dying season. Part of it was they couldn't get him the ball. And then all of a sudden he started lining up off sides. I brought up the bad body language and everything.
Was it DTR who was the quarterback?
He wants a guy that can put it on him.
They went ahead and they said, let's see what the kid can do.
I've put that out. Put that out of my memory. One of the best
with
takes,
the Eagles right now.
That's still one of the best takes you ever had, which you immediately... Like, when you say that, well, we got to see what we have, and I go, well, you're the same guy who goes, do we need to see what we have with Dorian Thompson-Robinson? I'm like, well, if you say that about him, then you got to be able to say that about all.
This last year was such a...
non-first-round rookies.
Last year, that was such a going-nowhere situation. Like, I could understand, well, who else do we got? Might as well throw him out there.
Another Browns fifth-round pick. Speaking of which, Deion Sanders yesterday on Michael Irvin's YouTube channel being interviewed and kind of disclosed something about Shador and his handling of Browns camp.
Shador told me not to come. Yeah, let's get that out. He's like, Dad, I may get 3-4 reps in practice. I don't want you seeing that. I'm like, come on. No, I'm not where I need to be. Let me get where I need to be. And it's so funny because this is his first time, man. And he's dealing with it like a pro. He ain't mad. He ain't bitter. He's like, I got work to do, but I'm going to put in this work. One thing, they're going to have to let me play. Preseason going to come. And when preseason come, watch me work. I'm like, I already know what you're going to do. I ain't worried about that. I know. But he didn't want me to come.
Two things. One, I don't know if you're going to get to this with Deion Sanders. God is great with the bladder cancer being gone after the surgery. My God. Because there was a lot of speculation about his health over the summer. And I remember he did that one interview. He's like, we're not talking about my, we're not talking. I think it was Big 12 Media Days, actually, where he's like, we're not going to talk about my health right now.
Yeah,
people were starting to speculate yesterday.
I wondered if he was ever going to coach again.
Yeah. And we found that out. And I'm like, good God almighty. The other part of it is, that's probably the smart thing to do. I mean, Deion is a Hall of Famer. He's arguably the best to ever play his position. He's a very, very high-profile guy. If he shows up at training camp, a lot of people are going to be wanting to talk to him. A lot of people are going to ask him a lot of things. And I just don't think he wants – I think he knows he wants to be careful about any commentary he might have. He knows what it takes to put together a locker room to win something. He knows what it takes as a player and trying to do it as a coach. I don't think he wants to step in there, and I'm happy about that.
I was going to say real quick, we have that clip if you want to hear him, the God is good thing.
It has been a tremendous journey. I'm truly thankful that God is so good. You have no idea for me to be here.
I texted my buddy over in Boulder about that. I go, do you think it's like a year-to-year situation? And at first he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, not about like going to Florida State or anything. I think that things change now where it's like he could be at the end of the year where he's like, you know what? I found Colorado in a bad spot. They're better than how I found it. Maybe I go back to the desk. Because he could pick up a TV job. I mean, did he still have the show on Tubi or whatever it was?
Him with a TV job. And if his son, can you imagine, was starting quarterback in the league? I mean, you'd want to hear from that guy.
Yes, you would. So, I mean, he could fall, bass ackwards into just about anything he wanted to, and he'd certainly be fine. So, coaching... especially having to do what he's had to do, which is retool rosters here 3 years in a row, that can take its toll on a guy.
That's it for Bell Last Night.